Okay, today's daf is daf Memu. We're kind of in the middle of a sugya, so let's just go back a bit. We're talking about the fact that if the lokeach did the if the someone was sent to purchase something, all the profits go to the person, like the mishaleach, not the shaleach who did it. And that was clear because it's assumed that even though the person who's selling doesn't know this person's acting as shaleach or not, nonetheless, we say when someone is acting as shaleach and they accept it, they're accepting it as if they're for the mishaleach. As if the Meshaleach themselves are accepting it. It's almost like the acquisition goes directly to the Meshaleach, which makes a lot of sense. And that was, if you like, the way Rav Nasi explained the position of Rabbi Yehuda, if you recall, in the discussion yesterday. And then we said, why was such a chiddush? Why can't we look at the case of, let's go over this again, if you don't mind. That if someone's makdish their property, or they were did a erech vow, and that such that the Beis Midrash can come and take their collateral. We said in that situation that would include the property of the garments of his wife or son. And specifically in that case, we said, for example, or tseva or something that was dyed for them. And we said there at the time that quite clearly the tseva didn't know who was doing it for, and the seems to be the Baal was doing it for the wife or for the child. So therefore, you can see this is another type of situation that even if the tzavah doesn't know what he's doing, it's clearly being done for the mishaleach, not the husband, which is mishaleach in this context. And that's why we said the same thing. That was attempted proof, and the rejection of the proof. He says, "What are you talking about when it comes to hekdesh?" It says, "No, Amar lo alat al dato lomar beksut yishto v'nav." There's no even havamina, meaning. Not there's no havamina, but when a person makdish all their property, they didn't even mind to include in that all my property, meaning the property of their children and wife. Okay, so there's no proof. It's not Inyan of Shlichot here, it's just a law within Hekdesh. That if someone says I'm makdish all my property, it doesn't include their wife and daughter's property, so this doesn't relate to our discussion. However, the problem is, if someone says my erech vow, if someone makes an erech vow, there is not makdish's property. He's making an erech vow saying, this is what I want to give to the Beis HaMikdash. And if he doesn't, the Beis HaMikdash should take a collateral from his house. And the difference is here is how can he be excluded? It sounds to be the assumption is what, how can we be excluding? There's no issue. There's concept of excluding his wife's property because that wasn't what he was stipulating. What he was stipulating is I want to give my value. So therefore it must be, but falling back to square one once again, it said it must be the reason why that's not included is considered their property. Meaning, when it was something was dyed for them, he went into the dyer to dye it. It was considered it was makne to them. It was their property, and therefore, if you like the gizbarah can't take from their property. That was the son. That's the if you like the next sort of attempt at proving it. So the Gemara says no. But Omer now it says ha Omer. I'm bringing the Gemara for the second explanation here. So just to say Vatanina, so let's go to, I did miss a bit. But then again, Hake Alai, Kivan Sha Amari Ki Alai Loka Balatmo, Lachamishim Sela. And so therefore the Gemara says, no, but Omer Ki Alai, Amanat Shalola Sader Masha Sha'al Ishtio Vanai. So he says, no, it must be that at the time he made the Erech vow, he stipulated that it will not be able to be collected from his wife's property. Now that's a bit of a chiddush, because one second I thought it was a shibud. So we're going to prove this point. Meaning as it says, Rav Nasa, once again, says, B'shem Rabbum Barchia, Ha'omer erki alai almanach sholosa mechefetz ploni, ein mesadirato mechefetz. Meaning he can exclude that as being, let's call it redeemable or seizable. So how does that work? It must be, Rav Hoshai says, B'shem Shmuel bar Abba, zot omer, it must be, she'ein shamin erachin mina metaltin dvar Torah, elam divrehem. So that works very nicely. Meaning, if this was Doraisa, what gives him a right to stipulate something against what the Torah says? So therefore, it must be that the fact that they can seize from, if you like, from metaltalin must be only midrabbanan. Meaning, Doraisa, they can only seize it from land. And because the capacity to seize metaltalin is derabbanan, therefore he can make such a t'nai. Okay? I hope that was clear. I'll say it one more time. In other words, the whole rejection was no, he says that I'm making this erech vow such that it doesn't include you won't be able to seize it from my wife's property and things like that as a collateral. And he says, what gives me the right to say that? If it's deraisa, you can seize it from everything, you can seize it from everything. So now we're trying to say is that no, it must be, therefore, if that's your answer must be that when the gizbar can come and seize the property, it's only you can seize it from karaka, midoraisa. The Rabbanan give him the extra right to even seize property from his metaltelin, from his movable objects. Ah, because that's only the Rabbanan, that's why he can make such a stipulation that it won't necessarily include his wife's property as well. So because it's just such a stipulation, it's not going against Masha Ketubah Torah. Okay, fine, now that's clear. Let's go. This is Nahalachavah. Hagozel chaveru shaveh pruta. Let's say someone steals from his friend a shaveh pruta's worth. V'nishpalo, and the person's confronted says, "You have it." He swears, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have anything of yours." Then, in that situation, just to remember, if he then admits to it, he has to pay what's back. He wants to do tshuva. He regrets it. He has to pay what's called keren v'chomesh, the principal plus an extra quarter of that principal value. So once it's added, it's effectively a fifth of the subtotal, and he also has to bring a korban hasham. However, he can't bring that Korban Hasham until he's done tshuva, he's returned the item. So that's two very important pieces, the extra chomesh and that being a blocker for doing the full tshuva, for in the Korban. So if someone steals a shavit pruta's worth, say the minimal amount from somebody, when Ishbal makes a shvua, and then Yolochinu acharav afilu madai. He has to chase after this individual. He has to pursue him in order to return the object before he can, fully do tshuva, before he can bring a Korban. Lo yiten lo lebenoi doesn't satisfy gives to his son, but lo leshlucho or even to a shliach. Avonoten lo, what he can do, he can give it to a shliach beit din, it's considered already returned to the person. The imet, however, if the person is meant to return it to dies, then yachzir lo yorshav. He still has to return it to the yorshim in order to do tshuva, and then he can bring the korban. Fine. Natan lo et hakeren. What if he returned the keren but not the chomesh? Is that considered enough now to do tshuva? I mean, to bring a korban, I should say. Clearly, he still has to pay the chomesh because the Torah requires him to do so. But the question is that sufficient? Or machalo ala keren. The guy said, "Look, it was just a bus ticket. What do I care? Don't worry about it." Machalo keren, but didn't mochel on the chomesh. The fact you lied to me, pay the fine. But whatever the reason is. Or machalo al zelo says, "Forget it. I don't mind." But he says, "But I want that little stub at the end, whatever it is." Chutz mishaveh prutas, chutz mi pachot mishaveh prutas, and that value that he wanted back was less than a shaveh pruta. In the keren, ain't tzarich lel chav. He doesn't have to chase after him because there's no shaveh's worth in all these cases. No shaveh's worth of keren remaining, from which he has to, if you like, return such that now he can go offer the korban. Natan lo et ha-chomesh. What if he paid the chomesh? Ve'lo natan lo et ha-keren, but didn't pay the keren, the principal. So in other words, didn't return that. Machalo ala chomesh. The guy said, "Okay, don't worry about the chomesh, but give me my item back." Ve'lo ala keren. Machalo al zel, as Zori says, don't worry about all those things, but I want one of those things you stole from me back, meaning which is worth a shavir pruta. Says within the keren, harei tzarich lelech harav. In that situation, still a shavir pruta is less of the keren. And the guy, even if the victim went overseas, he'd have to travel after him to return it to do this tshuva, to do this, the din hashava, in order to bring and out enable him to bring a korban. Natan lo et ha-keren v'nishba lo al ha-chomesh. What if he gave back the keren, but he said, "Oh, forget this. I'm not interested in this chomesh." And the guy says, "You didn't give me a chomesh." He says, "Yeah, of course I did." And he swears and he lies about it. Well, that chomesh now, there is a meshlem chomesh al ha-chomesh. He made another false shvuah regarding something of money that is due to some another individual. So that's another shvuah, and he has to pay the chomesh on top of the chomesh. Okay, so it's effectively another instance, another offense. And that would continue ad shitameta keren mishaver pruta until the keren goes less than a shaver pruta. We'll discuss what that means in a minute. V'chein, that's also a pikadon, so not just theft. Also, a pikadon is if he was trusted with an item, it was in his care and he denied it having it. So effectively, it's like stealing, but it just happened to be in his care. Or b'tzumat yad, for example, a loan. You owe me money. Is that not what you're talking about? Makes a shvua, lies about it. All the dinim were the same. Keren v'chomesh and korban. Or b'gezel, that we're talking about now. Or oshek at amito, that's, for example, he didn't pay his employee. The employee says, "You didn't pay me." He says, "Of course I did." He makes a shvua and lies, etc. Or matzah aveda, or he found something, v'kicheshba, he found somebody else's object and quite took a liking to it and then just lied about it being his possession. V'nishba l'sheker, and he lied. Harezem meshalem, he has to pay keren, v'chomesh, and also once that's paid, well, at least the keren, he has to bring this korban asham. Yafeh. That is the Mishnah. Let's try and understand the Gemara now. The Gemara says, "Keni matnita." Understand the menita ad shimet chomesh acharon pachot mishaver puta. What this is trying to tell us is, and I don't really understand the necessity because that's what I think you would assume the Mishnah was talking about. Not really sure what the Havamina was, but what it's telling you is the chomesh that he denies effectively becomes the next keren ad shimet shaver puta. So until, in other words, in this, in, just it's going back to the case where he returned the keren and then made us false rule about the chomesh. He has to spend chomesh on the chomesh, and this pattern continues and continues and continues until the last chomesh, which he denies, that the last chomesh is worth a shaver, is less than a shaver puta. Because once what he's denying effectively becomes the new keren in the next iteration. That's why it says achimata keren mishaver puta. Okay, that's effectively what he's saying. It says Amrav Yonatan nitata chomesh nasa chomesh keren, because that's exactly the point. That keren becomes in a chomesh, and then it adds 2 points. Lo atye ela b'shat edim u'b'shat korban. Now, what does it mean? Lo b'shat korban. Look, so there's two different points, and let's look at the Marafolda. He says, "Lo mishkav ma'ed ela ba'edim shehodah b'fnei edim." This is referring. When does he have to chase after this person? That's when his admission to the fact he stole occurred in front of other witnesses, not to the person he stole from. De'ilifnei. If however he said, "Look, I stole it from you," and the guy disappears, and meaning he didn't say, "Give it back to me." He says, "I'm going overseas now." In that situation, he doesn't have to chase after him anymore. Because he was aware of it, he didn't ask for it back, and he went overseas. Not that he's mochel on it. Let's look at this wrong. However, he doesn't have to chase. Because it's now like he's leaving it in the care of this person. That's why. So the din, that's why he doesn't have to chase after him. Because once he said, again, the thief said to this person, "Look, I stole this from you. I know I made a shvu, but I lied. It's really yours." And the guy goes, "Thank you very much. I've got a plane to catch. Thank you for admitting it to me." He doesn't have to go and chase after him and catch the plane, because now it's saying, okay, it's effectively like saying, "Okay, thank you very much. Can you please look after it for me until I get back?" Okay, so therefore, he doesn't have to chase after him anymore. It's done. Yeah, fair. And what's the other thing? Beshat Korban. Now, Beshat Korban means, De'im lo yechenu acharav v'yeshivenu liyadot tchila, meaning, when do we say it's absolutely necessary to go at all expense to chase after this person, travel overseas to return the item? Meaning, he may have stole something of a few shekel, and it's going to be, thousands of shekel to actually catch this person. That's only when there is a time of the Beis HaMikdash, Beshat Korban, because not returning it is preventing this individual from offering a korban. Masha ain't can, if it's not shalak korban, v'ayinam b'zman hazeh, meaning nowadays, ain't tzarich l'chol l'acharav l'madai. You don't have to chase after him. Kevan she'ein kaparat korban, because of no kaparat korban, there's no, in other words, when we have this urgency to return it as soon as possible, when he has the capacity to bring a korban, and we want to bring that korban as soon as possible. But when you can't bring a korban anyway, we don't have this sense of urgency. Now, does he have to return? Of course, he has to return it. But to go all expenses, pay like a trip, to spend thousands of shekel to return something that's worth a few shekel, that's not necessary b'zman hazeh. That's what it sounds like according to the conclusion of the Gemara according to the Marafolda. Okay, let's now look at Halacha Zayin. If he says Eichan Pikdoni, where's my Pikdon? Amalo Avad, I lost it. Okay, well. And he says, "Well, do you swear?" And we're dealing with a situation where a type of situation where it was lost and he's like a shomer and he's not chayiv. And therefore he makes a shvua saying it was lost, therefore exempting him from any payment. And what happens is, Aiden come along and now and say, "Actually, we saw you eating it. It was an animal or food, whatever it was." Then he has to pay back Karen. Stole. In fact, sorry, he's not stole, but he stole, but no, it's not like you'll see in a minute. Hodam if he admitted to it, Meshulam Karen Vasham. It's a classic case of Shuwa Pikadon, where he denied, he made a false oath denying the thing being effectively in his possession. Okay, well, so, it's not, to be clear, it's not actually denying possession, because he said he was in his possession, but it was lost. But it's a Shvua that's effectively exempting him from any having to pay anything. Okay. What happens, however, he says, Eichan Pikdoni, this is a special din now in the Torah. If he says, "Where's my Pikadon?" And he says, Nignav, it was stolen now. Not that it was lost, it was stolen. He says, Mishpiachani, you swear? The Amar Amen, he says, "Yes, I do." The Edim Inoto and the Edim testify, Sheginavo, and Edim say, "One second, you stole it. You took it yourself." Then we say, well, he has to Meshalam Teshlumi Kefil. Because Shvuat Gneva, in the case of a Pikadon, now he has to pay back, have back double. In other words, when he was just making a Shvuah that it was just lost to exempt him of payment, that's different. It's just the, yes, simply has to return it. but making sure that it was stolen, a special din, that he has now has to pay back double. However, Hodam Me'atzmo, if he admitted on his own, it's back to a classic Peshuvah Pikadon where he pays Keren v'Chomesh v'Asham. So again, the concept of the extra fine of Chomesh and Asham is only if he admits himself. If Edim come along, well, it depends what the nature of the Shuvah, generally just has to return it. However, if the claim was, I'm sorry, what can I do? It was stolen, but I'm Pater as a Shomechinam. Therefore, in that situation, if he stole, you have to pay back double. Okay. Hagozel, what if he stole from his father? Venishpalo, and he makes a shuvah v'met. And the father then dies. Now he's affected by Girosh all the property, Nachon. So Harezim Keren v'chomesh Levanav. Now, even though he's the Yoresh of his father's estate, nonetheless he has to Mekayim fulfill the din of Hashavah. So he has to take that object that effectively has a chelek in anyway, or might even a full share of it, and return it. Either to, now the simple understanding of the Mishnah is the other heirs, the brothers, or his uncle. Because it has to leave his possession. Okay? How the im einu, if he doesn't want to, or he's not able to, there's a different explanation. What do we do in that situation? Or she'ain lo, he has no possessions of his own, he's basically a pauper. Then lover or balchol ba'im v'nifreim. What he does is, this is an interesting case, he takes out a loan from someone, returns that thing he stole to the estate. Now he has a chelik in the estate. So he's done the din hashavah, and the lover can come and claim, because he has a lien on that property from the estate. He can claim it back. And that way, effectively, he doesn't lose that monetarily. And he does also fulfills the din of hashavah. Let's continue. This is another Gemara. Amar lo avad. Tani, ein makablim pikadon menashim ve'avadim ve'ketanim. One cannot take a collateral or security or a deposit from women, servants, or slaves. Now, nashim, we're talking about just general women, talking about, for example, a married woman. Because all this situation, the similar to the Gemara is, we're concerned that it is actually not theirs. It's the husbands or the masters or the fathers or something like that. However, if kibel misha accepted, niachzeri, should return it to her. If she dies, metechzilabara returns it to the husband. Me'eved, if it's from an eved, yachzilo, should return it back straight back to the eved. V'met, in other words, even if we have this suspicion, we still return it back to him. But if the eved dies, you give it back to the rabbo. Mikatan, if you take from a child, yachzilo, should return it to him. V'oselo bahen skula. Now, sebohem skula means you make some sort of if you look at the marfuldi, he says you basically purchase a sefer Torah. So you put this money in a way that's in a trust for him. So it's in a by either purchasing a Sefer Torah or a Dekel or a Palm, and that way, when he's old enough to be having financial, wherewithal, he'll be able to have those funds back, if you like. Okay, Met, however, if he dies, Yachzir la'aviv, it goes back to the father. So you see where we move the Vosem Bam Tkula. Now, V'cholam she'amru b'shat motan. Now, anyone who says at the time of the death, Yiten la'plonish shehen shelo, he says regarding any of his property, he says, that item in the corner that belongs to so and so, please return it to them. Now, the symbol is saying the Gemara, Yaseh Perush le Perusho. Now, I say Perush le Perusho. Here, I think there's another Girsa here. It's Mefurash ke Perusho, meaning that's another Girsa on the side, meaning that in the Nishkot, you do what they told you to do. That's the way the Mefarshim here explain it, meaning the Marafolda and the Pnei Moshe. Means Kedemas, and because it as is proved by the continuation. Again, another, I think it's Bavli Scholak on this point, but let's continue. It's, if I'm not mistaken. It says Rav Zvid says B'shem Rabba Bar Mamal Ubilvad Be'edim. Okay, that has to be Be'edim that he said so in front of Be'edim. Okay, now just to show the Marafold on this, it says Yaseh Perush Lo Perushok and Amasi Lakamen Shabah Ma'aseh Lefnei Rav. We're going to see the incident right now. But Amar Ein Edim Ragila Shaker B'Shami. People on their deathbed, it's not usually the time they really start lying. It's when all truth comes out generally. And it's Bava Edim, they're saying in front of Edim. Okay, now what's the case? Kahada Ita. There was one woman. The Isha, oh, sorry, Ita, not woman, the Ita, the wife, the Rebbe Bar Chana. Midamcha, when she was dying, Amra, she says, Ahin Kidusha Devarti. Now he says, it's Kidishaya, is like this nose ring. This item belongs to my daughter. The Hu Amar, and he said, Bar says that actually, no, Leitu Eladidi. No, it was mine. I don't know what she's saying. So Ata Uvda Kamei Rav came before Rav Amar Ein Adam Matsui L'Sheker Mita, which is like we said, Yesem Mufurash Keperusha. And if she instructed, said, belongs to so and so on the deathbed, people don't generally lie at that time. There's a heightened sense of trustability or believable, at that time. So therefore, despite the fact the husband might be disputing it, we follow what the wife said. It goes to, in this situation, went to the daughter. Okay, et cetera. Another short duff. Right. Kol tov, have a good day.